The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Hallelujah. Now, that seems to be the most difficult thing for us as humans is to leave it in His hands, to let Him have control of our life. You know, I was reminded of when I was talking about prayer a couple weeks ago that there was a quote that I used. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom that may have said this, that prayer can either be your spare tire or your steering wheel. If you make it your spare tire, you only go to it when you really need it. But if you make it your steering wheel, it's going to guide and direct your life because you have communication with the Lord of all, the King of Kings. Jesus wants to steer and direct our lives. Let's give Him control. And with that theme, I want to talk to you this morning about getting in the boat. Before we get started, I do want to pause and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that Your will be done in this place and that Your word would go forth. It would touch hearts and minds that, Lord, I would speak only things that I would be directed of You. I would be obedient as You were obedient to the Father. Only do and say what You saw this Father do and say. Lord, allow these things to be true in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 14. So that's where we're going to be looking into Scripture this morning. We're going to be talking about a boat experience. And I want to talk to you about getting in the boat. I believe that's exactly what a believer needs to do is get in the boat, because that's what Jesus told His disciples to do. I read a story about a guy who wanted a boat. He wanted a small craft to be able to take out on the weekends, and he had discussed this with his wife, and his wife said, "We just can't afford that." And he just kept looking. Finally, he found a really good deal on a boat, and he just couldn't help himself. He had to buy it. And he brought it home, and of course, his wife was not happy. And he tried everything to get her to accept it. And finally, he said, I'll tell you what. I'll let you name this boat. And I know that you're a pretty good artist, so while I'm at work Monday morning, you can paint the name on the side of our boat. So she said, okay. When he came home that evening, sitting in his yard, sideways for everyone to see, was this name, For Sale. It was beautiful. But not exactly what he had expected. I know, and sometimes I make that mistake, that I do some things without talking it over with my wife. And it's not a very pleasant place to live when that happens. Amen? Come on, guys, let's learn some lessons. Well, let's talk about getting in the boat this morning. Verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship, a boat, to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitude away. Of course, we know that what Jesus was doing, He told His disciples to get in, He sent everyone else away, and He went off to pray. And they were to row to the other side. this boat that he was putting them in was a vessel that was used for fishing on the Sea of Galilee quite often. It was probably about 230 of them, according to Josephus, the historian, on the Sea of Galilee at that time. In fact, they found one that was, they dug it up out of the sand that may have been a boat that was very similar. They dated it back to the first century, so it could have actually been one of the ones that Jesus sailed in with his disciples. They're about 25 feet long, about 7 feet wide, and 4 feet deep. So they're a pretty good size, what we would consider a boat. That's the reason they refer to it as a ship here. And it had a sail. It was manned by five men, four oarsmen, and a helmsman. And it could hold up to 15 more people. So it was a pretty good-sized boat that they set out on. But here's what I want to make, the point that I want to make here right now at this particular juncture is that my number one point is that only disciples get in the boat. Jesus sent everybody else away. Disciples do what the Lord tells them to do. I want to encourage you this morning to strive to be a disciple of the Lord. When he calls your name, when he calls out to you, be a disciple. A disciple is more than just a casual follower, someone who says, okay, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. A disciple follows the teachings of the teacher. A disciple sets themselves on a course to do everything and act like and be as much like the teacher as they can possibly be. A disciple is more than just a casual follower. There's a lot of casual followers in the body of Christ today. And I'm just trying to encourage you this morning to be more than just a casual follower of Jesus. Be a disciple. It says that he constrained his disciples. This is a pretty powerful word in the Greek. It means to necessitate, to compel, to drive. What I want you to understand is that when it comes to serving Jesus as a disciple, Jesus will do everything he can. You may just be a casual follower of Jesus today, but Jesus will do everything he can to compel you, to drive you, to call you, to cause you to be a disciple. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's a distraction. Bring my baby girl right here on the front row. Hi, sweet thing. How are you? Yeah. She loves her papaw. Absolutely. When you are Christ, and I'm saying if you make Jesus Christ your personal Savior, he's going to do whatever it takes to get your attention. He'll call you. He'll woo you. He wants disciples. Disciples change the world. Disciples make a difference. Disciples press into Jesus Christ and want more and more and more of the love of Christ and the teachings of Jesus Christ. But you know what? It's really important that we understand that you start out as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's the first place everyone starts. Yes, he wants us all to be disciples, but you first must know Jesus as your Savior. I'll tell you what, I want you to turn to something. Turn with me to John chapter 3. If you have a Bible, if not, just listen. John chapter 3, the Gospel of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Okay, first of all, this man, Nicodemus, he saw something in Jesus. He saw that there were miracles taking place. Now listen, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. There were other Pharisees, other religious people during that time that saw the same miracles, they saw the same healings, the same deliverance for people, but they refused to accept the fact that Jesus was someone special, the Messiah. Yet Nicodemus came to a place where he realized that there was something different about Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus confronts him right away. He said, "Yeah, you know, you've seen these miracles, you've seen these things, but here's what you really need to know. Here's the reality. You must be born again." This is a basic truth in Christianity that we all must embrace. This is where everyone starts, being born again. It's not just a verbal assent to the fact that Jesus is a nice prophet, a wonderful teacher, or even God in the flesh. It's more than that. It's an acceptance that Jesus is your personal Savior. It's an acceptance that Jesus died on the cross for you. He shed his blood. He gave up a life in heaven that was incredible. Came to this earth knowing that he was going to die, that he was going to suffer, that he's going to be put on a cross, that he was going to be ridiculed and beaten because he loved you and me that much. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would, what? Believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He teaches Nicodemus here what needs to take place. Nicodemus says, and rightfully so, he says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus was talking about physical things. Jesus was talking about spiritual things, a spiritual rebirth. Many years ago, 40 years now, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I came as a broken man, knowing that the life I was living was not the kind of life that I wanted to live the rest of my life. I knew that if I continued down this road, I was going to be a completely broken person. I would lose my family, my wife, and who knows what else would happen. Drugs, alcohol, all these things, they were part of my life. That night when Tammy and I went to that little country church, we knelt down at the altar and we asked Jesus to be our personal Savior. We repented of our sin and we received the remission of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we got up from that altar, we were different people. God had taken that stony heart out and put that fleshly heart in, the one that could be shaped and molded. Now, we didn't get up as perfect people. God knows, you all know me, you know I'm not perfect by any means. But we're different. I can't tell you what life would have been like without Jesus Christ, but I can tell you what life is like with Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. It's glorious. It doesn't mean I don't have problems and difficulties. We have ups and downs. This world is full of them. We're going to have tribulation in this world, Jesus said, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Praise God for that day that we knelt at that altar and received Jesus as our personal Savior. It seems like a simple thing, but it's the answer for eternity. It's the answer for the issues that we have in this life. Doesn't mean you're not going to have the issues or are not going to arise in your life. It means that Jesus Christ is going to walk with you through every difficulty that you go through. He has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised that he will always be there. Nicodemus wanted to know what it meant to be born again, and Jesus taught him that you had to be born of the Spirit. It's a spiritual rebirth that changes your heart, which, if you will allow it, will change your mind and your thinking supernaturally. This is not something you can figure out. You can't. This is not something intellectual. I'm not saying you intellectually received Jesus. No, there's so much more to it than that. This is supernatural. When you truly bow your knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, supernaturally, your heart is changed and your thinking is changed. In Romans chapter 1 or chapter 3, it says this: there is none righteous, no, not one. And then in verse 23, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is encouraging, as far as I'm concerned, because it means that we are all sinners. But there are some of us who have been saved through the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. We've put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter where you are right now, anyone can receive that salvation in Jesus. All have sinned, but all have the same opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and change their life. Over in chapter 6 of Romans, tells us this: for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord. If we continue in sin without the remission of sin through the blood of Jesus, the wages of that sin is death. It's eternal death. It's what all the old time preachers used to talk about quite often. Your destiny is hell. Now, I know that's not a popular subject in the church today, but it's a reality. Our destiny without Jesus is hell. It's the place that was prepared for the angels, the devil and his angels. But mankind will go there because they reject the offer of repentance of sin through the remission of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hellfire awaits those who do not receive Jesus as their personal Savior. For the wages of sin is death. A death that we do not want to experience. And then in Romans 8, 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's our freedom. Our freedom is through Jesus. We're not condemned any longer. When you make Christ your personal Savior, you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by your grace. When you do that, there's no more condemnation. You are free. Doesn't matter what's happened in the past. Doesn't matter what happened this morning. Amen. What matters is that you made the right choice. Praise God for His answers. There's nothing else. There's nothing that we can do aside from receive Jesus as our personal Savior for our eternity. Your works, I don't care how good you are. I don't care how wonderful a person you are. Some of you sitting in here are awesome people. Praise God. But you're not good enough, and you know that. None of us are good enough. We can't be good enough. But I know one that is good enough. My Savior. My Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. That He has given me the opportunity for eternity with Him. Brother Otis, would you come up and play? Amen. I'm going to ask everyone to just bow your head. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your people this morning. I'm just going to pause right here in this message because I want to make sure that we hear this truth. I know most of you in here. But only you can make sure that you have that relationship that I'm talking about. So Lord God, I just ask that you touch your people this morning. This short part of this message has ministered to anybody. That they're hearing what I say. Just touch them. Stir their heart, Lord. I want them. I don't want anybody to perish. I don't want anybody to miss out on this opportunity to know you. Life is a short venture. Doesn't matter whether the Lord comes back or we just die naturally. It's going to be a very short time. The only real hope we have is in Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to say this. If you're not sure that you know Christ is your Savior, that you've repented of your sins and you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand up. There's nobody looking except me. Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Praise God. I just want to make sure. Because the answer is Jesus. Praise God. Amen. I don't want you to miss this. I'm not a salesman, so I can't convince you to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. But I am convinced that He is the answer. I am convinced that He is the Savior. This book that we read, we call the Bible, 66 books written by over 40 authors, different authors. The same theme runs through the whole thing. It's a scarlet thread of the blood of Jesus Christ. The answer is there. Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies. That's the thing about this book that is different than any other religious book. This book gives prophetic utterance that comes true every time. So many of them have already come true, and there's many more to come in the future. Some of them I hope I'm not here to see. This is called a tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble, which is not going to be a pleasant time on this earth. I want everyone to be rescued. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So I'm going to ask one more time. If you do not know Christ and you'd like to know, raise your hand. Okay. Praise God. I'm going to end that part of it right there. Thank you, Lord. All right. I'm just going to take a few more minutes here to talk. So I'm just going to take it. We're all believers in here this morning. Every one of us. Thank you, gentlemen. Just hang around because I'll wrap this up real quick. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to take the next step. And that is to become more than just a follower of Jesus, a casual follower, but a disciple of Jesus Christ. What does a disciple do? A disciple hangs on every word of his teacher. A disciple listens to what his teacher teaches. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's a disciple. It's someone that keeps and desires to keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who is willing to do above and beyond what most people are not willing to do. Someone who is willing to find out what the words of Jesus mean to them. Someone who will strive for more. Now listen. It's obvious in the Word of God. Jesus commanded the disciples to get in the boat. They didn't have to. We're all free moral agents. God is speaking to each and every one of you. I believe that. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, He's been speaking to you. People, you know, don't listen to people who say you're crazy if you hear from God. You're crazy if you're a Christian and you do not hear from God. You're crazy. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He talks to you. God directs you. And Jesus wants to order every step of your life. Hallelujah. I want my steps ordered by the Lord. Because I know when I order my own steps, it's not a good thing. I get in trouble. I fall in the ditch. I want good things for my life and for my family. But it means giving up everything. I can tell you that. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to give up everything in your life that means something. Now, I'm not talking about family. I'm not talking about homes. And maybe He'll call you to do that. He has done that in the past with people. Give up cars and homes and all kinds of things. What He calls you to give up is anything that is God in His place. So sometimes it's not material things as much as it is giving up our control over our life. It's emotionally giving God control of everything. It's walking away from anything that hinders us from getting closer and closer to our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you many, many things in my life. I'm not going to go into that this morning, but God has called me to give up certain things, things that I loved, things that I thought I could not do without. But the Lord said, I want you to get that out of your life. And it wasn't anything bad most of the time. It was just something that was in the way of my relationship with the Lord. It was something that kept me from getting closer to Him. It actually was it's the kind of things that become a God to us, whether we realize it or not. Because anything that hinders that relationship with our Heavenly Father becomes an idol, which is a God. So He calls us to give up everything for Him. Sometimes it's our whole life. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not saying that God's going to call every one of you sitting in here into full-time ministry. That's not what this message is about. I'm talking about people becoming disciples in the occupation, the situation that you're in, no matter what it is. If you're a business owner, if you're a construction worker, no matter you work in a bank, it doesn't matter where you are. In the marketplace, Jesus wants you to be a disciple. More than just a casual follower, a disciple that ministers to other people. And that's tough sometimes when we realize that God is calling us to get in the boat, which will take us out of our comfort zone. Jesus told the disciples to go to the other side. They were going someplace where they were uncomfortable, and they would be uncomfortable when they got out on the other side. But Jesus said, get in the boat. And that's what he's calling for us today. He said, get in the boat. Get in. Come on, I need disciples. I need more disciples. I need people who will listen. When I say, do this or do that, go here, go there, I need disciples. Jesus, remember what he said. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to wrap this message up, or this part of it. I've got several more points that I want to make. But I just want to encourage you. I want you to know that sometimes we have to give up our life, what we think is our life. And in some cases, people have given up their physical life so that others would know that they were a disciple. Many, many martyrs. Many martyrs today are dying because they love Jesus Christ all over this world. It's the only thing that they've done is make Jesus their Savior. And their life is being taken. Their families are being destroyed. Pray for our brothers and sisters all over the world. Persecution is at its height right now. More so than ever before in the world. In 1912, the Titanic left to come to the United States, headed for New York. And of course, we all know what happened to the Titanic. Hit the iceberg. Lots of people lost their lives. Over 1,500 people. I think it was 2,000 passengers and over 1,500 people lost their life. There was one man on there by the name of, and there was, let me back up just a moment, because there was a lot of heroic things that took place on the Titanic. Some of the things that, I never saw the movie myself. I read some reviews and stuff on it. If you saw the movie, some of the things that was in the movie were not accurate. So please, you know, surprise, surprise, Hollywood would do something like that. Okay. But anyhow, there were a lot of heroic acts that took place. But this one gentleman by the name of John Harper was about 40 years old. He didn't have his family, but he was traveling back to the United States. He found himself in the icy waters of the Atlantic. He was offered a couple of times to get in one of the raft, the lifeboats, and he refused. He refused because he wanted to tell people about Jesus. He was a pastor. It just so happened that he was a pastor. But more than that, he was a disciple of Jesus. And he saw people perishing. And he would swim out to people and he would ask them, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And if they said no, he would lead them to the Lord right there in the water. One gentleman that John called out to him, he was a distance away. And he said, do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus? And he called back, no. And the guy drifted kind of out of his sight. And then a little while later, he drifted back in. And John swam over to him, got as close as he could. And he said, do you know the Lord? He said, no, I don't, but I want to. And he led him to the Lord. And as the man watched, John just became so weak that he slipped under the water, never to be seen again. That gentleman ended up being rescued. And he lived in Canada for many years. And he was often asked to give his testimony about his salvation. And everywhere he went, he would tell everyone, as he wrapped up his testimony, "I am proud to say I am John Harper's last convert." What a testimony. I want my life to be like that. I want people to be able to say, he gave up his whole life for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what we've got to strive for. That's what a disciple will do. A disciple will get in the boat, or a disciple will get in the water. It doesn't matter. Whatever the Lord says, that's what a disciple does. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. My only desire in sharing with you and being able to share the Word of God is that I encourage you to grow spiritually. I encourage you to take that next step. That's what church is supposed to be all about. That, you know, we come together here and we worship the living God. We encourage each other, and we go out from this place and we're ready to take that next step toward Jesus, allowing Him to use us to become more of a disciple each and every day. And all I can say to you this morning is, are you willing to give up your whole life to serve the Lord? That's what it's all about. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It can be painful sometimes, but it's worth it. And let me tell you something. When you stand before the Lord on that day and he looks at you and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," you will be so glad that you became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just give you glory and honor this morning. I know that you're an awesome and mighty God, and I thank you for stirring my heart, Lord. God, growing closer to you. Thank you for revival in the land. Thank you for stirring people's hearts, a desire to grow closer to you, to be a disciple. Lord God, this morning as we leave this place, help us all to make a commitment to more of you and less of us. Get us out of the way, Lord, so that we can be everything you want us to be. That we will become the greatest disciples you've ever had. And I praise you, Lord, for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day. Don't forget about the dinner tonight. Everyone come.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.